Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A local author has a new novel. Let's go in-depth with Darlene Miller, author of The Search for Grandma Sparkle, a novel about the mysterious disappearance of a rural senior citizen. Darlene, where are you from?
Well, I've lived in Knoxville many years, but right now we live off of Highway 5 toward Bussey, by the Bussey Stub.
Okay, so nice country lifestyle.
Yes. Well, we got a garden.
You brought and in some tomatoes. That was nice. Thank you.
My husband mows 3 acres of ground.
Well, and you're a writer.
Yes, I am.
When did you start writing?
Well, I was about 14 when I had my first published thing that was written. And it was an article in a church magazine.
14?
Mm-hmm.
And so you were just sort of driven to do it? What made you do that?
It was something I could do, and I love to write, and I love to read. Mm-hmm. You have to be a good reader to be a writer.
And did you have a good teacher that helped you out on that path? Do you remember?
Not really. Although my primary teacher, Miss Pauline Hall, helped me quite a bit.
And what school was that?
That was in Michigan, in mm-hmm. Getchell School. I moved to Iowa in 1956.
Okay, so been here long enough to know something about it, that's for sure. And that you know not just something about it, but a lot about it, comes out in your new novel, The Search for Grandma Sparkle. That's how I pronounce it anyway. Do you say grandma?
Sure.
Yeah, some people say grandma, but that's how I read it. The Search for Grandma Sparkle. Tell us about that.
Well, the story is, no, it's a novel, so it's not true, but the historical things are the places that she goes. What happens is there's a 72-year-old woman who disappears with her 3.5-year-old great-granddaughter, and she disappears in Marion County, but basically they look all over for her in southern Iowa, and they find the car 2 days later with 2 flat tires. But there's no sign of either one of them. So they decide that they might have gone for a walk and tried to find shelter. It was raining, instead of just staying by the side of the road where the car was found. Well, actually, the car had been towed away, so it wasn't even found there. And so her granddaughter was on her way to the races when she got the news, and she and her boyfriend then decided to help look for Grandma Sparkle, and everyone got involved, including all of the sheriff and highway patrol and everyone, for several days, but there was no sign. So she and her boyfriend then decided to just travel around Knoxville and around southern Iowa and see if they see all the abandoned buildings, basically, to see if there might have been a place where she could have stayed. And what happened is her boyfriend was taking a course in DMAC, Des Moines Area Community College, on Iowa history, but he was from northern Iowa and didn't know any of the history in southern Iowa. So on the way, the girl then, whose name was Sarah, showed him all of these places that were abandoned and were mines, and then he took notes so he could write his paper, his theme paper.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Darlene Miller, author of The Search for Grandma Sparkle, a novel about the mysterious disappearance of a rural senior citizen. Well, and the interesting thing about this is I read a lot of novels, but it isn't always where, when you're reading a novel and they talk about places, where I know that place and I can envision exactly where they're driving, what they're looking at, what they're thinking. And that's sort of a unique thing for those of us, you know, who live here and know and share that knowledge.
Well, that was my idea, to do that, to share the history as well. And I like history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so even if we know a lot about, you know, Marion County and points around it, we can still learn more through exploring the themes in your novel, but also local history and places.
I learned a lot just trying to find out where, you know, when I was trying to do research on it.
Can you give us an example of some important research that, you know, ended up being important in your novel?
Well, one of the things I did was to drive around and see, could she have been here? What would they have done? So I took a lot of trips. And one of them was to Harvey. And in Harvey, they had a sign by a huge sycamore tree. And it was about William Henry Harrison Barker, Dr. Barker, who had lived in the area, and he had planted all of the trees that were native to Marion County. But he was especially interested in the sycamore because the sycamore was the peace tree where the Indians had met the white man, which is now in the middle of Red Rock Lake. And they were very interested in trading and doing things, meeting. It was the meeting place. And it was called the Peace Tree. So what he did was he decided to talk to Congress, and he petitioned Congress to actually have a peace tree, a sycamore tree, in all of the national cemeteries. And it passed. And at that time, and I don't know if they still do, but at that time, they planted a sycamore tree as a peace tree in all of the national cemeteries in the United States.
Well, that's some pretty deep history, and we can learn much more. I know that the coal mining was a big part of your novel, or is a big part of your novel. You teach us about that, too.
Well, do you know that there were over 500 different mines in Marion County?
I knew there were a lot. I didn't know 500.
At one time or another. As far as I know, none of them is operating today. But that was a very big industry, and it took thousands of people came to Iowa to work in the mines. And then they abandoned their places, although a lot of the things were their equipment and the housing was recycled as they moved on to the next mine. But there were places that stayed. My parents lived in a place called White City, what had been called White City, and it was in the middle of the country, and it was the foreman's house. It's the only house there now, and it's not white.
Mm-hmm. Where's that?
It's actually over the border into Mahaska County if you take T-17.
Okay. All right, so
T-71. G-71. Between T-17 and G-71, I get mixed up.
Yeah. And what's your writing process? Do you sit down every day?
No. I got too many things to do, and I like to travel, so I'm gone a lot. But we often have... I often have ideas that come, and then I sit down and write. And I am disciplined by going to the Marion County Writers Group, and that meets every week. And they usually have a theme for you to work on. And sometimes I can fit it in my novel, sometimes I can't, but at least I'm writing then.
Is that a big help, the workshop?
Yes, it is. And Dr. Venata is very good.
And when does that meet?
On Thursdays, and right now it's meeting over at the Nearwood Winery, which Dr. Venata owns, and it is at 6:30 in the evening.
Every Thursday.
Right.
Well, that takes some discipline, too. And then I presume that you get good feedback on what works and what doesn't.
Exactly.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Darlene Miller, author of The Search for Grandma Sparkle, a novel about the mysterious disappearance of a rural senior citizen. Then this isn't your first book.
Actually, my first book was considered a young people's book, and it was written about the history of Pella, and I did that because I wanted my grandchildren to cherish their Dutch heritage. But that's been out of print for several years. I also have a couple of RV books, and they're jokes and anecdotes about RVing that I thought maybe a lot of the people that come to the races would be interested in because they RV. And they're like one page or maybe a half a page to three pages long, and they're just funny stories. They tell you what to do and what not to do when RVing.
Oh, really? I'm sure there's lots of mistakes and lots of lessons to be learned in these. And any lessons in The Search for Grandma Sparkle?
Cherish your family would probably be the best one. Because, you know, family, you just need to cherish your family.
And is there a short passage you'd like to read?
Oh, well,
just to give people a bit of the flavor of the book.
Well, Grandma Sparkle is a person that I had in mind when I wrote this. I talked to her in 2015, and she wanted to know what I was writing. And I said I was writing a book about Grandma Sparkle. And Sparkle stands for her church group. And the church group met and decided what were they going to do. They weren't just a study group. They wanted to help people. So they came up with S-P-A-R-K-L-E. That's how the sparkle came. And the sparkle is, S stands for sharing, P stands for praying, A stands for action to help people, R is to research the Bible, research if someone's ill, what's going on, and you do this all with kindness, love, and encouragement. And so that's basically Grandma Sparkle's personality. But she also was someone that put her heart into everything. She was one of these with gusto. And when I was talking to this lady, I said, you know, it's your personality. And I said, I'm interested in putting you in the book. And she just grinned. She was so happy, she beamed. And so I used her. Now, she was born and raised in Kansas, not in Iowa. But her personality and her looks, and that way I put pictures in the book. And her name was Opal. Now, if I can find a place where I would describe Opal. Okay, the boyfriend Tom asks, maybe you would feel better if you can talk about them. If I'm to be of any help, I need more information. What is your grandmother's name? How old is she? What does she look like? Opal Spoolstra. She is 72 years old. She looks like a grandmother. You know, not really fat, but what she calls fluffy. Her short hair is white, and she wears glasses. She's tall, about 5 feet 10 inches. I've heard her called statuesque. She's always telling stories. Sometimes she forgets who knows her stories and who hasn't heard them. Then she repeats them. I've heard some of her stories many times. She keeps active with her friends, church, and many clubs. Grandma Sparkle likes to cook and bake and take care of her flowers and garden. She really likes to have family around. She does everything with gusto. I mean, she puts her whole heart into whatever she does. I thought you called her Grandma Sparkle, not Grandma Spoolstra. Who named her Sparkle? I did. I was 3 or 4 years old when I was questioning who was in the family. My great-grandmother, Clara Spoolstra, was alive then, so she was Grandma Spoolstra to me. I couldn't have two Grandma Spoolstras. After hearing her friend Ruth talk to Grandma about the club that she belonged to, called SPARKLE, I asked her what sparkle meant. And she said that sparkle meant to give off or reflect light or to shine. She was wearing a t-shirt that glittered, so I said to her, "You are Grandma Sparkle." Everyone laughed. But when her friend Ruth thought about Opal's effervescent personality, she looked at Grandma and agreed. Grandma Opal Spoelstra liked the name, so she has been Grandma Sparkle to the family ever since. Now, the Spoelstra part came from my mother's maiden name.
Where can people find your book?
You can buy it from Main Street Market on the square up downtown. And I will be at Marion County Park from 7 to 10 on the Run Race Week. And that will be August 8 through 11. And we will have some other Marion County riders, too.
Thanks to Darlene Miller for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.